Welcome everybody to HomeKit Insider. You got me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal, Stephen Robles. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. No special Harlem Globetrotter reference or a Wizard of Oz, I was expecting.
Stephen, we don't have time for that today.
We don't have time.
We do not have time. We have too many things to talk about. We have no time for your niceties, your pleasantries, your shenanigans. We have stuff to talk about.
Man, you got some Shakespearean there. That was nice.
Thank you. Well, you're a natural nice popsy-wopsy yourself.
All right. Well, last week we talked about Home Run 2.0 from Aaron Pierce was launching, and now it has. You can get it. And he posted some interesting stuff on Twitter. You know, not many developers post like raw numbers, and it's nice sometimes to be able to see like what actually does a smaller app developer experience when it comes to downloads and trials and subscriptions and all that. And you kind of kept good track of it here. So Andrew, you want to mention him?
Yeah, Aaron, this, you know, he shares a lot of details on like the development of these apps, and I think it's just really cool. So now that Home Run is out, we did a review on, you know, last week's episode, like towards the tail end of the episode. It looks like, you know, quite a few people have downloaded. So he's had almost 4,000 downloads, 3,790,000 units downloaded. Of those who downloaded it, 384 people started a trial, and then 88 trials were, or subscriptions were, due to migrations from Home Run 1. Aside from those 384 trials, he's had 180 lifetime purchases, which I think is just really fascinating. Like there was a monthly and a yearly option or something for subscribing, and then there was also the lifetime purchase option. And most people have defaulted to that lifetime purchase option, it seems, or at least a good chunk of people, 180 people. So I just thought it was really, really curious. He says over 10% conversion to trials, 2.3% from Home One offer, and 4.7% have converted to lifetime purchases. So really interesting. So if you haven't downloaded Home Run, the second version is out now. The biggest thing that we can talk about is the new way to set up complications. But I think for me, and I don't know about you, Steven, but the ability to create widgets for your home screen on your iPhone or iPad, it's really cool. The grids and the colors and everything is so well thought out and implemented. And yeah, the best way to add, you know, HomeKit shortcuts right there to your home screen. So go check out Home Run if you have not already done so.
It is very cool. I do think the widget creation stuff is probably the most fun, you know, to be able to create these widgets. You got all the different sizes. He's got a ton of like icon symbols, so you can customize the widget to make it look like what you want. And, you know, you have home controls in the control center, swipe down from the top right on your iPhone, but I actually think it's a hair more convenient, especially if you do like a smart stack, and then you could put like scenes and devices in these widgets created from in Home Run in that smart stack. I don't know. I really like it. So kudos, Aaron Pierce. It's a good app. All right, well, we need to talk about this Home OS leak that might have been a thing. So there was a job ad on Apple's website, and it mentioned directly Home OS. And then later, the job listing was updated to say something like TVOS and something else. But it was very clear that it had said Home OS before. Now, when this episode comes out, it is the morning of the WWDC keynote. So depending on when you listen to this episode, it actually might have already been announced and been a thing. But as we are talking about it in your past, listener, I think it is very interesting that Home OS would have been listed as like a thing in Apple's, on Apple's website in a job listing. And my thing, Andrew, is if Home OS is a thing, it has to run on hardware. And I can't imagine they would make an entire OS, Home OS, just for the HomePod Mini, because I think that's the only device that it would run on, because Apple TV already has TVOS, and HomePod is really kind of the only thing that didn't really have a name for its operating system. It was always just like iOS. It got whatever iOS update number it had. So I thought this was very interesting. I think it alludes to the possibility of another piece of hardware, maybe not immediately, maybe not even at WWDC, but maybe in the near future. What do you think about it?
There are so many different ways to kind of think this through. There's a lot of, there's so many things. So first off, for anyone who isn't aware, HomePod, like the HomePod operating system is basically a forked version of tvOS. So they're essentially running very similar things already. So they could just be renaming the OS that is used on HomePod and Apple TV as HomeOS and getting rid of tvOS, and that would actually give the HomePod a specific, you know, software update now, or software name. So they've been issuing betas and stuff of the HomePod software. So I actually would not be surprised if they formally named it HomeOS just for HomePod, even because it is weird when there's like software update for HomePod, but not,
right,
you know, a new version of HomePod or HomeOS or something is available.
Right.
So I could still see them issuing it for HomePod Mini. And I mean, we can kind of speculate about what future HomePod hardware there may be, but I think that's almost a given. Like, I don't see Apple exiting the speaker market at this point, especially as they continue to ramp the other stuff up. So I would not be surprised if there's additional HomePods coming down the line, a big one, a new small one, you know, something with the display that we talked about. That's always possible. Now, if we talk about that display HomePod type thing that we've, you know, like Home Hub type deal that we had, you know, speculated on in a previous episode,
right,
it would make more sense for that to be where this lands, along with Apple TV, because they could just be using that. I mean, this has a display now, so they could really, you know, stick to that forked version of tvOS and bring some of those kind of features between the two different platforms. So maybe it could be HomeOS going to both Apple TV and HomePod. I don't know. It's exciting. I mean, they did replace it with Apple TV and HomePod, or TVS and HomePod software or something. There's just a lot of different ways it could go. We could speculate so many different ways, but to me, the biggest thing is that Apple is getting more serious about the home, whether it is for Apple TV, whether it is for HomePod, whether it is for HomeKit. Any of those things are possible, and to me, any of those things are good.
Yeah. I think it would be a little weird if Apple TV ran something called HomeOS. I don't know, maybe it's because we've already had tvOS for several years, but I guess it would make sense. I mean, it's a home hub. It has
three. They lump all those things together. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. So maybe we'll hear something about it at WWDC, but either way, keep an eye out for HomeOS. Now, this next thing is IKEA, the furniture maker. It actually had a picture frame with a Sonos speaker built in. It was on their website for a little while. It's removed now, so you can't find it on IKEA's website, but we reported on it. A bunch of other people reported on it, so it was a thing. And so it looked like it's going to be a picture frame with AirPlay 2 and Sonos built in. And the idea is to basically make speakers disappear into your home rather than just being this thing that sits on a table. I wonder how good a picture frame speaker would sound, especially when it comes to low end and bass, being that it would not be very deep. You know, you could have a, you know, it's all around the frame, but to have it, I don't know, with its low end, I'd be very curious about it. But it is interesting. I don't know if you've seen like TVs that look like picture frames. So the bezel, when it's off, you know.
I have one.
Oh, you already have one. That's right. So, you know, it's a cool idea having it blend into things that would normally be around the house. But I don't know. I think it's interesting. It's not available yet. There's not been any official announcement, but looks like it could be coming soon. What do you think about that?
I'm excited for this. I really did assume something was coming here. So the Symphonisk line was a collaboration between IKEA and Sonos. They launched a couple years ago. And there was one product was a lamp. So it looked almost like a HomePod with a lamp shade on top. A glass lamp bulb shade on top of it. A funky, funky guy. That one I wasn't completely sold on because you did have to have a certain aesthetic for the lamp to make sense. But the other product I was in love with, which was their like little bookshelf speaker. These things were ridiculously cool because you could put them on a bookshelf and they would more or less blend in. Like they were tall and skinny and meant to literally be on a bookshelf. Or they had a optional mount where you could mount them to a wall and turn them into a shelf. So we literally at our old house that we were at, we had one mounted next to our chair. So we had like a big, you know, comfy reclining chair. And then on the wall, we had the speaker and you could use these as rear surrounds for Sonos because they are Sonos audio. So like Symphonisk or IKEA did like the design of them. And then Sonos did all the software and the acoustics on them. So they sounded really good. I mean, they're not as good as some of the other higher end speakers, but they sounded really solid for what they were. And I could use them as rear surrounds for my Sonos soundbar. So it was a great little setup. And that's kind of where I can see these picture frames coming into play. Like the idea is, like you said, blending in speakers into your home so they're not intruding and stuff like that. So I could see, a picture frame that looks normal that is also able to act as your rear surrounds. I mean, picture you've got your TV in front of you, you got your couch, you got two end tables on your left and your right. Throw these picture frames on there. You can display some family pics you got, and you also now have rear surround for your soundbar. I think something like that is very cool. And like you said, they support AirPlay 2, so they support all the HomeKit functionality as well that any other AirPlay 2 speaker would have. It's a really neat idea. We saw the Symphonisk lamps they've been clearanced out. Some people saw them as low as like $40. They were like $200 or so, and they went down to like some places found like $40, $50. I think Mike Worthley on Apple Insider, he saw them down to like $100, maybe something like that, $80. So those look like they were being discontinued. The bookshelf ones were still staying around. And when we reached out to Sonos for comment, they were like, our partnership with IKEA is strong and we'll share future news when it's available. So I'm like, okay, well, that sounds like more products are coming from your collaboration.
Right.
And this looks like that. This is like the first, like, or the next collaboration that they're going to do. I think it's a cool idea. I've really been happy with like this partnership between IKEA and Sonos. Like, they're decently priced, really unique, and nothing really else like it. And they always support AirPlay too.
Pretty cool. All right, well, Nanoleaf actually had a big event last week and announced some new products. Andrew had an early look on that, and so we'll go a little more in depth on that once we get through these news and some personal projects. So stay tuned for that. Cool Nanoleaf stuff coming. And then Philips Hue actually had a major update to their app. They're on version 4. Other updates are inbound, but I actually updated to that app, and it's pretty nice. Got some actual visual redesigns as well as functionality redesigns. So looks pretty good. Anything stand out to you?
There's a few things that they fixed. I kind of said it, I think, in a text piece, but I usually use HomeKit for my Hue stuff, but I do live in the Hue app every once in a while. And I think they just really, I mean, this thing was rebuilt from the ground up and they've really changed. The room view, I think, is very nice. So if you go into an actual room, you have your like room controls on the top, you have your scenes in one place, and then all your individual lights. You can turn anything off and on with just a tap. There's the scene gallery linked there, and there's a bunch of new scenes that you can choose from the gallery, aside from creating your own. They revamped the extraction tool for when you upload your own picture, and then it pulls out the colors. So they've redone that, so it works a lot better. The picker wheel, the color picker, they've redone that to make it a little bit more user-friendly, and they even have a left-hand mode for the color picker. So for lefties out there, they can use it a little more easily without some of the buttons being on the right-hand side or the left-hand side, whatever is the annoying one for them. So that's been fixed. They added support for multiple bridges. Like, they've always had support for multiple bridges, but now they have a new bridge icon on the home screen if you have multiple bridges in your home. And it's literally just one tap to switch between your bridges. So if you have one for like your, you know, maybe your home and your guest house or your garage or an indoor and outdoor hub, or just two that are too far apart to cover more area, or maybe you're just bumping up against the limit of how many Hue bulbs you can have. Before it was really obnoxious to switch between your bridges. Now it's very easy. They revamped automations. There's more guided steps to help you understand what the different automation possibilities are and how they work. And what I think the biggest thing they fixed was they now support multiple users for the arriving and going features. So before you would leave, but like say your wife was still at home, but you had it set to, you know, when you leave the house, turn the lights off. Your wife just like all the lights go off on.
Right.
So
right.
Now there's multiple users supported, so it can be tracked for multiple devices. So if, you know, your partner is still at home and you leave, the lights are not going to turn off. And the same thing when arriving, if they get home before you, their at home routine is going to set where when you get home, theirs is already running. So yours would not run in that case. You can also partner sunrise and sunset with time. So you could have like your porch lights come on 15 minutes before sundown and then turn off at maybe midnight because you don't need to run them, you know, at 3 a.m. So you can turn them off at like midnight or, you know, 12:30, whatever it is you want to do. So you can combine the sunrise and sunset with those times. So there's a lot of stuff they've done, a lot of really nice improvements. The layout is gorgeous. I really like it. I mean, it's been a huge update to the app and I feel like it needed it. So I still use HomeKit for things, but there are some things that just work better through the Hue app when specifically looking at Hue bulbs. Like the wake up scenes are way nicer because you can't do anything like that in HomeKit where they like gradually brighten
right
over time. Yeah, stuff like that you can only do through Hue.
Yeah, I agree. And I've been using more Hue apps like we'll talk about in a moment. So some of those settings are really nice. They also have just when you open up like a room now in the new Hue app, they have several things pre-programmed like night light, and it'll put it on a very dim brightness for that and other brightness settings just kind of already built in. So it is pretty cool. You can check it out. It's a free update right there in the App Store. Now, this next one is not HomeKit related, but because we talk about Amazon and their smart home products periodically, I thought it was interesting to mention when it comes to privacy and such. Amazon Sidewalk, it's basically Amazon's wireless mesh network for location tracking. Tile is now going to be working with them, like we mentioned on a previous episode. And so on June 8th, if you have an Amazon Alexa, an Echo or any kind of Ring doorbell, Amazon devices. It doesn't seem to include Eero just yet, if you have an Eero wireless router, but all like the Ring cams, the Echoes, and all that kind of stuff, you're going to be automatically opted in for your device to be used in Amazon's like mesh networking thing. And so if someone is trying to find their device, there needs to be like some kind of like shared internet thing. Like your devices are automatically opted in. You can manually go into your device's settings and opt out of this Amazon Sidewalk thing, but it's a little, I don't know. You know, I don't know if they're going to put up a notice or a flag on anyone's devices or apps to let you know, like, this is now a thing. Your Amazon devices, like your doorbell and your Echoes, are being used in this network, or if they're just going to silently do the update and force you to opt out if you really want to. So again, this is just one of those things where Amazon's doing that. Feels a little sleazy. I don't know. I just don't know what else to think about it. What do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, I've seen so many articles this week. We reran ours that we published back in from like a year ago when they announced this thing to begin with. Really, I mean, it's just this mesh network that it's supposed to have a lot of benefits, you know, for steadfast Amazon users. You know, your tiles and stuff will be able to help find each other better. There's like security stuff and police being able to get things, all this kind of stuff piling in there. By the way, the police thing, they could access your Ring doorbells when they needed to for things. I guess that now has to be public. I saw that in the news recently, so that's a good thing. Like, they'll actually have to notify you,
right,
or put out a public notice that they're using footage from a camera. So that's good. But yeah, Sidewalk is going to be enabled by default, and you have to go in and manually disable it if you don't want to. So it'll start, and then you just have to disable it, opt out, if you do not want to do it. But I've seen so many articles of like, Amazon Sidewalk launches June 1st, opt out of it now. Like stuff like that. Like what, all the stuff, just saying, right, do this now. So some people like the Amazon stuff and they don't mind this. I don't really find it sleazy, but I don't like, it's more like chilling to me that there's like so much sensitive stuff being shared that makes me, yes, more nervous.
Right. Which is worse, chilling or sleazy? Listeners, let us know. Which is the worst adjective?
Oh, I don't think Amazon's trying to be sleazy. Like, I don't think they're like trying to be...
I mean, turning something like that on without letting anyone know. You know what I mean? Because if you're not like a tech nerd, you're not like reading the tech news, and you have Ring doorbells and Echoes, all of a sudden your devices are being used in this network and you just had no idea. Which I guess you could make the same argument about Apple's Find My thing. I don't know if they put up a like announcement banner in Find My once that update came saying like, hey, now you can find all devices and your iPhone is being used to help other people see their AirTags. So I guess you could make the same argument that Apple maybe did something similar. I don't know.
I don't think that's really the same thing because that's not anything from yours. But I don't know what... Because I don't use my Ring anymore, so I don't know what they're doing in terms of like alerting people. Like, because they're advertising this as a feature. So this isn't like made up or something that they're hiding in the background. This is an actual feature that they are promoting. So I don't think that they're trying to do it in the background and be sleazy or shady.
Okay.
I think it's just creepy.
Okay. Listeners, let us know. What is the adjective that we should be using here? What is the most accurate to describe this? All right, we got some interesting personal projects and stuff going on. And you got a Leviton switch installed and an Eve Aqua going on. So tell us about what you got.
Yeah, just some small projects. I didn't want to get, you know, too in-depth to everything because most of it's pretty small stuff that you guys know about. But I do have the new Leviton Decora switches. I got the one with like the extra remote, so I can have it installed and then have it mount a second remote elsewhere that like connects to one another. And again, it works through HomeKit. And so far, I really like it. So I'll do a full review of that when I have a little more time to play with it. But I've got that installed here in the studio. I also put in we have our front like garden bed. And last year, I had my Eve Aqua, but it was just watering the right side of my garden. And we still had to go out and manually water the left side of the garden. For whatever reason, I never put a splitter on it. Okay. I didn't have another soaker hose set up. And like we have like a driveway in between, like at the left and right sides of the garden, of course. So there was like no easy way to get it over there. But I did finally pick up the new thread-enabled Eve Aqua. So I got that installed, and now I actually am not going to kill things on the left side of my house because I would never water it. I watered it for like 2 weeks, and then I was done. So those should not die this year. And then... I'm surprised you didn't say anything about the next item I had on my list. Like, how was that not your first question?
Well, I didn't know if you want to get through the little ones and then hit HomeKit chicken coop. Yes, explain, please.
By the way, I'm like sitting here recording. I got like another Amazon Ring is starting to require police to run Amazon Sidewalk launch. Mm-hmm. Like, literally mm-hmm. news alerts about mm-hmm. it as we're recording. Anyway, yeah, so we're building a chicken coop. And my first thought was, how do I make this smart? And I know that there was automatic doors you can put on the chicken coop to have it, like the door to open and close to let the chickens out during the day and lock them in at night. And I'm debating on maybe going with like a switch bot or something to hook it up. Cause like there's a remote enabled version. So there's a timer one, but the timer is like, okay, but if you ever wanted to do something different or maybe a chicken did make it inside and the door closed, I would want to be able to like manually do it without having to run out there.
Sorry.
To open and close.
Imagining these chickens firing off HomeKit automations is hilarious. So, and I was
exactly.
Like, can't sure. continue.
Yeah. So I've been trying to figure out how the best way to do this is. So I literally, the lumber was delivered this morning. So we are just in the early stages of building said coop. It'll be a fairly big structure. It'll be pretty cool. It's going to look gorgeous. Yeah. So I'm still thinking about that. I'm thinking, because there is that remote option. So I'm thinking about going with the remote one, mounting the remote with a switch bot so I can manually press those buttons if I wanted to. But then I also have a switch bot to automate it that way as well. So I'd have like a couple options that way, but I'm still thinking about it. Still thinking about it.
That's hilarious. I'll look forward to seeing this. Pictures too, if you can.
Oh,
I'd love to see what this looks like eventually. Very fun. Well, as I've been mentioning, we are in the process of moving. And, you know, probably this is weird, but as we left our previous house, we haven't closed on it yet, but we moved out because closing is very soon. And there was a moment when I was like, do I remove every device from the home app or do I just delete the home? And I didn't ask anybody or even look up what I should do. I just deleted the entire home. And probably one of the more emotional moments of leaving this house that we've lived in for 10 years was that moment when the Apple Home app asked me, do you want to delete your home? That sounds deep, but you know, Apple's not, you know, the app is just asking to confirm, but it was interesting. And so I actually deleted the entire home. And I understood this was probably running the risk of having to like factory reset every home device that I have, which I've been in the process of doing. So yes, you know, I had to factory reset everything, but deleted that previous home. And now in our temporary living situation, I went a week without any smart home devices. And let me tell you, you really feel not having them after you've had them for such a long time. Just the ability to tell a HomePod goodnight and shut off lights that you want shut off and you don't have to like get up and do it. Sounds like a first world problem totally, but you do miss those conveniences for sure. And so in the past week now, I've been trying to figure out how do I add some HomeKit features and smart home stuff to this house without ripping out a bunch of light switches and switching stuff. Because this isn't our house. We're only going to be here for maybe 6 months, but it's also 6 months. So I want some smart home stuff.
I thought you were going to say you're trying to figure out how to live without smart home devices.
No.
Figuring out how to live.
Not that serious. So being a temporary living situation, I'm really leaning hard on Wemo smart plugs. And I actually got a pack of three. I think Best Buy had them on sale for like $45 for three of the small Wemo smart plugs, the really small ones where you can actually fit two on top of each other. So those were pretty cool. Using those in a couple places for like a fan and a lamp. And then really going in on some Hue lights. Specifically, their A19, just standard, no color, just the white temperature lights. I was able to get like a four pack for, I think it was like $40, like 40 something dollars or something. And that's pretty good. And what I'm doing is there's a lot of ceiling fans in this house and they all take that style bulb. And so I've been swapping them out, just doing a bunch of Hue lights and got a few Lutron Auroras to put over the light switches. So they stay flipped up and everybody can dim it and turn them on and off with the little button. And it's been working out. So between Hue and Wemo, doing pretty good. I did have an issue with setting up a HomePod pair and Apple TV. So in this house, the way it worked out timing-wise, the new Apple TV 4K came in and we were like moving that day or that weekend. So I was like, let me just set it up in the place we're going to be. And the guy was totally cool with it. So I was actually set up the new Apple TV 4K in their living room with a HomePod stereo pair, which I've actually never had before. I had the HomePod mini stereo pairs, but in my previous house, I had just individual HomePods everywhere. and the home theater 5.1 system in the living room. And so I actually did the stereo pair of big HomePod with the Apple TV 4K. I have to say, it sounds very good. You know, it's supposedly Dolby Atmos, virtual surround and all that, and it does sound very good. I did have an issue. I think this was the Hue app. I think Hue did me dirty. As we have talked about before, like, you have to like sync the rooms. If there's any discrepancy between the room names between the Home app and the Philips Hue app, the Hue app is like, let's get these things synced. And in doing so, can totally screw up all the rooms in your house. And so I did, I think it was this. I did that, and it somehow created two rooms called living room. And I didn't realize it right away. And somehow my HomePod pair got put in one living room and my Apple TV in the second living room. They were both called living room. They were titled the exact same thing, which I didn't even think Home app would let you do, because it's, you know, it usually doesn't let you like duplicate names like that. But anyway, I had two separate rooms called living room, and I could not figure out for the life of me why I couldn't set my HomePod pair as the default audio for my Apple TV. Because that's what I wanted to do. They're all there. And eventually, when I discovered there were duplicate rooms, I moved the HomePod pair into the same room as the Apple TV. And it was amazing. Immediately, as soon as I moved them into that room, a pop-up came up and asked, do you want to use these HomePods as the default speakers for your Apple TV? And I was like, huh, well, there it is. And so I did that. And then all of a sudden, all the sound options, like setting them as the default audio, trying out that eARC feature, all of that became available. Once I moved those HomePods, I deleted that duplicate room. So anyway, all that to say, Hue and Wemo, great options, especially in a temporary living situation. If you're in an apartment, you know, Hue makes candelabra bulbs for ceiling fans and regular A21 style bulbs. So they pretty much make any kind of bulb you would need, floodlights, all that kind of stuff. And the Wemo switch is, again, very, very useful. And the Philips Hue hub, you know, it's Zigbee, and the communication between the lights is really good. The Wi-Fi is actually difficult to manage in this house, because there's like many walls in between the bedroom we're sleeping in and the Wi-Fi router, which is in like an office. And Wi-Fi is actually not great in those far off bedrooms. But Zigbee on the Hue app, that hub is where the Wi-Fi router is. And I put some Hue lights and the ceiling fan in our bedroom, and no issue there. Very fast response, and it was great. So all that works great. The Hue, the hub, and all that kind of stuff. And I will say one other thing. I have a Philips Hue motion sensor, and so I just put it in the bedroom because I was like, well, let me just set it up, and so it's already ready, and figure out what I'm going to do with it. And somehow it added some automations for detecting motion and turning on the lights automatically. I didn't set up this automation. I didn't accept it, but for some reason, the Hue app just assumed I wanted it. And so we actually like laid down to go to sleep that night, and the light turned on. Like it was off, and then it just turned on automatically. And I looked in the Home app. There was no automation in the Home app set up for that. And I was like, what is this happening? And so I had to go to the Hue app and remove it there. So interesting that they just kind of like put that automation in there willy-nilly and didn't expect it. So anyway, I'll update everyone as we live here in this temporary situation. I'm going to try, because this house has a garage. I've not had a garage attached to my house before. And so I'm not going to switch out the whole garage thing, but I am going to try the Maris garage door opener and hook it up to this Craftsman garage opener here. And I think that actually comes in today. So in the next episode, I'll be able to share my experience of installing the Maris HomeKit garage door openers. That should be pretty interesting. But that's been my experience.
Well, a couple of things too, since you kind of mentioned it with the Hue app. One, the communication has been greatly improved with version 4. So communicating with your bulbs seems faster, and the app, the UI of the app, responding to changes is a lot quicker. Like before, you like change a light and you'd see like 30-second delay before it's showing the app. Now it's near instant. So all that has been improved. So maybe that's part of why you're experiencing like that Zigbee communication being so great. Unfortunately, they didn't fix the HomeKit stuff. Right. I specifically asked them about it, and this is my quote from the Signify team, which is Philips Hue app 4 will copy changes in room composition, which lights, light points, not the specified light state, over into HomeKit automatically when the user changes them in the Hue app. So it copies them into HomeKit when you change them. We know that. That's the problem. It right. does that, and it never goes back. Then they continue, we never automatically overwrite HomeKit settings by just opening the app or controlling the lights. However, this is similar behavior to app 3. So what they're saying there, again, they're not going to automatically overwrite your HomeKit settings just by opening the app or controlling your lights. But if you hit that sync button, and you try to sync with HomeKit, it will overwrite your HomeKit settings. Ugh. So that crap is still the same.
Yes. And I have been, it seems like if you get your home rooms named exactly like they are and in the Philips Hue and you don't change anything, you're okay. Like, it doesn't throw up any warnings. It's not going to mess them up, but they really have to be the same, like exactly the same. So I don't know. It's just a pain in the neck.
My problem is more of like, if I change, like I'm in the home app and like rearranging rooms or something, and I'm moving bulbs around to where they should be, something like that. And then I go back to the Hue app, they're all out of whack. Like, the Hue app won't show my changes in HomeKit. And then if I sync, it puts them all back to where they were in the Hue app. So I have to change everything else in the home app, but leave the Hue bulbs, don't touch those, and then go into the Hue app and then move any of my Hue devices, my bulbs or controllers. And that's the part that I find really obnoxious. I'm like, I don't always know what the heck a bulb is. Like, is this a Hue bulb? Is this a LifeX bulb? Is this a Nanoleaf bulb? I don't know. Sylvania, like, there's so many different options that I got running around this house. I don't always know what type of bulb it is when I'm just looking at the name of, like, nightstand lamp. I know I can go into it and look at the manufacturer down there, like the settings on, like the details of it, but it adds so many additional steps. And then I'm like, okay, that's a Hue one. I can't touch it. And I have to remember which ones those are and then change them in the Hue app. It's just obnoxious.
Hue, that's your next thing. Fix it, please. Thank you. All right, man. Well, Nanoleaf, they had that big event last week as you listen to this podcast, and they got some cool products that came out. You got an early look. So talk to us about the Nanoleaf stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really excited about this, because we have not seen anything like this before. They've been quick with so many different things, right? They had like some of those first like home, well, they were trying to be the first HomeKit bulbs, got beat out by Hue by a hair. Then they were launching they launched the first like consumer Thread devices. They had a bunch of other products in there, but now they're coming out with, I gotta get the name right because it's a mouthful, the Nanoleaf Elements Wood Look Hexagons.
Mm.
So this is part of the Elements line, and they're the hexagon shape, but they have the wood look to them. That's the part that makes these different than anything else that Nanoleaf has done. And it's really what it sounds like. They're light panels that, instead of looking like stark white, you know, shapes on your wall when not in use, they look like wood.
Nice. Oh, okay. That's very cool.
Yeah. So it brings a much more like down to earth feel to your smart home products. Like, I love smart home tech that blends in seamlessly. And like, I really love so many of the Nanoleaf products, but like, I can't put those in our living room. My wife would kneecap me if I tried to put up, you know, a whole wall of, you know, white shapes and stuff like that. And it just doesn't look, depending on your room. If you got like a modern setup, then there's no problem with it. Like, they look great, and the colors, they're fantastic. But depending on your aesthetic, they don't always look perfect in a room, especially when they're off. So these, they look much more natural and simple, and I think really, really cool. Like, I love the look. So they are plastic. They're not actual wood. I would describe it as almost like a piece of vinyl flooring. They're plastic, and they're textured and then, you know, colored to look like pieces of, I'd say like oak or birch, like something like a lighter wood. It's not a walnut or anything like that, which is actually one of my notes for that I was going to mention later, which apparently I'm saying now, which is I would like more wood colors. We mostly have walnut, dark walnut, black walnut in our home. So like walnut colors are more prevalent. So I would have liked to have a darker wood option to go with, but maybe for lighting, I don't know. They haven't announced any other colors yet, so just this one like oak, kind of like a natural light wood. But they look fantastic. They really do look great on the wall. So controlling and functionality is very similar to a lot of the other Nanoleaf products. So of course there's HomeKit support built in. You can use touch controls on them, so you can double tap. You can swipe up, swipe down, swipe left, and swipe right. All those can be controlled or configured in the Nanoleaf app. So the way I have it now is just double tapping on them will turn them on and off. That's basically it. So just double tap to turn it off, double tap to turn back on. And you can use the swiping gestures to like increase or decrease the brightness and like jump between scenes or effects that you go between. So stuff like that. So it's really cool to have those like touch controls on the panels themselves. There's a braided wire that comes with it because they do have to have power, and it sticks in there very easily. They mount to the wall via a little Of course they're adhesive, but it's like one adhesive per each tile instead of like putting like three or four around like you used to. Mm. So it's like one in the center. It's a little larger, but it has like a little lip to help you pull it up to make them more easily removable. But this, the adhesive goes in the center and then you stick your tile on against it. The tile is able to remove from the little plastic adhesive piece.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Ish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, so you're essentially, I mean, you mount the whole tile, but then it can be removed. So that way you can leave the adhesive on there.
Gotcha.
And peel it off easily, but you can also take off the tile if you ever needed to add like an extra connector or anything like that. The connectors, instead of being the little shims that slide in, they actually clip into place, which I also think is very nice. So they connect very easily, they mount very easily. They should be more easy to remove than some of the past ones. And I had no problem. They have like the AR kind of layout thing if you want to help like figure out your design before you get set up. You get 7 light panels in the pack, and then they of course have extension packs that you can add additional panels to it. They give you a bunch of ideas out of the box on designs that you can use, but of course you're free to make up whatever else that you want to do. Color wise, it's only white, so it's not like blues and teals and greens and yellows and reds and all that.
Yeah.
I could list colors for 5 minutes apparently, but it's just
chartreuse.
So yeah, only shades of white. So it goes to a cooler white. I wouldn't say as cool white, like a white as Nanolee's other products or any of the other smart lights. It's still slightly into the warm side, and then it goes to a very, very warm orange color. The really orangish color I don't love. It looks really fake and weird. Like if you have the brightness all the way up and it's all the way orange, I don't like it. But if you're sticking kind of in the middle, you drop the brightness down a little bit, it's a very nice warm light and it feels kind of like soothing. And I like like the light to the middle is very comfortable for me in its setup. You can set it in HomeKit, just turning it on and off and do brightness and all that. And you can change the color, like the different white color. But in the Nanolee app, you have a bunch of different scenes that you can create. And they have several that are like already done for you. Like there's like waterfall, which is nice, which is a kind of slow moving down, like down your wall of the lights. And it's kind of alternate on and off. There's also one I like cloud, which they're like all on. And then it like slowly, some of them will start to like dim and get dark. Like a cloud is passing over top of it, which is kind of cool. Then there's like Firefly, which is like more bright, that more orangish color, the fiery orange color. In different spots, it kind of like flickers on and off a little bit, kind of like a little flashing fireflies. Yeah, they got a bunch of different scenes that they can create in the app. And of course you can set those through HomeKit too. So once they are created in the Nanolee app, you can do that. You can create your own scenes, whether they're dynamic scenes or just painting on there of which ones are lit up and what colors they are and all that stuff. So there's a ton of control for it. But yeah, they say white options are between 1500 to 1400K, and there's 11 preset lighting scenes that are built in that you can choose from. Yeah, so I forgot this too. It has the music sync too. So if you have like, I love this, like if you have your favorite jazz or coffee house playlist, the light will sway along to the melodies. I mean, I guess that makes sense because it is supposed to be like this calming, and it does remind me of a quaint little coffee shop, and I could see it going along with some jazz or coffee house music. It does have like the sync rhythm feature to go to any music that you're playing. So what do you think? You have any questions, Steven, since we can't, you know, get any listener feedback until next week?
True. It sounds really cool. I'll have to be honest. I still have not set up my personal Nanolee stuff again because of temporary housing stuff, but so does this mean the attachment to the wall and everything, it implies that it should be easier to move if you need to?
Ooh, that is a good question. I don't know like what they fully intend, like if they intend for it to be easier to remove.
Right.
Or if that's just kind of like a byproduct, essentially. I wish I had like a better picture. Oh, there's one I can send you so you can kind of see how this mounting plate works. But I would say it is easier to remove.
Okay.
Because as you'll see from this second picture that I'm about to send you, there's like a tab on the plastic that you can pull up. So it gives you a way to kind of dislodge the adhesive. So the adhesive is still not like reusable. It's like, you know, one and done, but you could get additional adhesives and it's a larger piece, but you could also take off that adhesive. You could just leave that and use screws in place if you were someone who wanted to more permanently attach this.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can kind of tell from that picture, it just that middle circle piece pops off.
Gotcha.
So you stick that to your wall, and then you can grab it by that edge, that lip, and pull it up as you would remove that adhesive. So I think that that would be easier to remove than, especially because there's one adhesive versus like six.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So I'm looking at the picture of them on your wall. That is very cool. And so when they're off, yeah, legit just looks like wood. And how, like that one at the top of your picture, is that its brightest or like what percentage brightness is that?
No, it definitely goes brighter. I would say that's maybe like 50% brightness, somewhere around there. If I send you another random picture, I think the one I'm about to send you is more along the lines of like full brightness where it gets just really extra. I hope everyone can see all these pictures on our podcast.
I was going to ask, like, I'll put the one where you have like multiple brightnesses as the chapter art so listeners can see that. Okay, gotcha. So when it's on like full brightness, I mean, you can kind of see it in this picture, but does it, like, do you still see the wood grain or is it just kind of like then just a light, like a big light?
You can still typically see the wood grain, at least to some effect. It may not, it's not as noticeable when it's like all the way bright, but you can still see it. I also wanted to mention too that there are some slight dark spots. If they're in, I did a video for anybody who cares. I did a video review of this on launch day, but I do show a spot where the tiny corners of each hexagon are also not as uniformly lit as the rest of the tile. So it's not a big deal, but just something to kind of mention. Each corner can be a little dark when you have the brightness higher up. So that's another like a minor, you know, criticism of this guy.
Okay. It looks cool. You know, it, you know, especially the wood grain, it can be light. Where is Nanoleaf kind of advertising the use case, or where is Nanoleaf saying these would be great here or there? And especially different than their previous colored panels.
I think these are just meant to blend in more and make it feel more natural and not so modern and
gotcha.
Techy. So I think if you have a living space, these I feel like are good in a living space, a calming space. I can see these being really great for like a baby's room or a kid's room where you have a lot like softer lighting and stuff like that. These would be perfect. A coffee nook, something like that. These would be great for just something that feels more natural and not so harsh and techy and white and that kind of thing. I also forgot to mention what's going on with Thread here. So these do connect to Wi-Fi, which is great. I think for especially for a light bulb, most of the times when you're in your house, you're gonna have solid Wi-Fi connection, which means it's always gonna be connected to your hub. It's always gonna be responsive, all that kind of stuff. It's gonna be good with Wi-Fi and it's always plugged in versus a lot of the Thread devices, which are, you know, battery operated. Well, they aren't ignoring Thread though. They're actually going to be issuing an update for the new hexagons, as well as the elements and shapes controllers that are already out there, to become Thread border routers. I like hiccuped in the middle of that. To become Thread border routers. So they will be able to connect to your other Thread devices and extend that network, that mesh network and everything. So while these aren't, you know, communicating themselves over Thread, they are extending and connecting to your other Thread-enabled devices. So that's really cool. So I'm glad they're adding that Thread border router support to these guys, as well as the existing ones they already have out there on the market.
Very cool. Yeah, it looks really cool. I think it would look great in a lot of probably YouTube setups, and I'm sure we'll be seeing them in the background of your videos and your studio. So it definitely is a cool look, and so I'm excited to see them. Do you have any info on pricing?
Do I have info on pricing? Maybe. Yeah, look at this. Here we go.
I thought you said that in like, yes, and here it is.
So they're going to be they're available starting on June 3rd. So like last week, they'll be available on June 3rd. They'll be available through the Nanoleaf shop and Best Buy later in the month. They're also launching globally in Apple stores. So the Smarter Kit, their version of a starter kit, will run for $299 and then $99 for the expansion packs.
Okay.
So pretty similar pricing to most of Nanoleaf's other products, and they are kind of expensive, but the way they got like that uniform lighting across the tiles, the controller and Thread, and they're acting as border, like there's a lot of tech built into these guys, and there's also literally nothing else like it. It's like, oh, that those wooden wall panels that work with HomeKit are too expensive, I'm gonna take my money to this other brand. You don't have that option. So if you do want like a smart wall light for functional or for aesthetic reasons, like anything like that, that blends in a little more, these are what you got to choose from. And I think this is a really good first step, and I'd like to see other wood shades, but otherwise I'm very happy with it.
Very cool. So we will put a link to Andrew's video review and the article in show notes so you can check them out, all about Nanoleaf. Well, listeners, tweet at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. Also, subscribe to the Apple Insider YouTube channel where you could see Andrew's review of those Nanoleaf Elements wood and a bunch of other videos. Again, WWDC is today if you're listening to it on the day this comes out. And a lot of you do. We appreciate that. So stay tuned again to Apple Insider and this podcast. We'll talk about everything. And if HomeOS is announced, you'd be sure we're going to talk about it. Don't forget to give this podcast a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. That'll greatly help out the show. And you can check out the other podcasts on the Apple Insider Network. Apple Insider Podcast comes out every Friday and Apple Insider Daily. You get the top Apple News headlines in just a few minutes. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.